We all have opinions. Welcome to Speaking Truth to Power, a podcast where we, the people, get to weigh in on today's happenings. Join us with your mind open for discussion on everything from the Constitution, raw society, law, interviews, and so much more. Powered by the law offices of Jason E. Taylor.
Good morning. This is Jason Taylor. Again, back to you with our program, Speaking Truth to Power, sponsored by the law office of Jason Taylor. Hope everybody's doing well. Casual Friday, if you can't tell. And you may recall, kind of started doing some of these or suggesting I was going to do these little kind of historical trials that have to do with some of our rights. And a few weeks ago, at least it feels like a few weeks ago, we talked about the Anne Hutchinson trial from the 1630s. And today I'm going to talk about the trial of John Peter Zenger from about 100 years later, from the 1730s. And I'll tell you, I'm getting this, you know, there's the great courses, which are, they do all kinds of courses on various subject matter. And this one's on the Liberty on Trial in America, Cases That Defined Freedom by Professor Douglas Linder, University of Missouri, Kansas City, School of Law. And so I've kind of been following along with his kind of presentations of these various trials and kind of reducing them in terms of length and information in hopes that you not only learn something, but you have a little fun, find it interesting, entertaining, and beneficial. So let me tell you a little bit about John Peter Zenger. He was a printer, German printer, in the province of New York, or that area, in the about the 1730s, right? And there was a crazy governor there, Crosby, and William Cosby, and the governor was concerned that he was losing his control of the province. So he hired a guy and made that guy in charge of the one newspaper in the area, right? And that guy's job was to write articles that were for the benefit of the governor and basically said things that the governor wanted to have said, all right? So it was basically at that time there wasn't the freedom of speech, and things that were printed were things that the those in charge wanted printed, not necessarily things that should have been printed, right? A lot of BS, in other words. And there was a lawyer in the area, a James Alexander. And James and the former Chief Justice, who was Morris, Lewis Morris, were opposed to Cosby and all the things that he was doing. And so Alexander went and started another newspaper, right? And this has been credited as maybe the first free press newspaper in this country or colonies at the time, or regions, however you wanted to find it. But he went to this printer. There was two printers, and one of them was Zenger. And he said, "Hey, I want to do this paper. Can you print it for me?" And he offered a lot of money, and Zenger said, "Sure." And he started printing this paper, and the paper that they were printing, that was called the New York Weekly Journal. And basically, Alexander wrote articles in there that kind of called out the governor. And the governor didn't like it. He got angry. So he had his kind of attorney general guy, or the Supreme Court judge up there at the time, Delaney, try to get a grand jury to indict the printer. They weren't exactly sure who was writing the articles. They figured it was Alexander, but they didn't have the goods on him. But they knew who was printing it, Zenger. So they tried to get a grand jury to indict him. The grand jury said no. So they brought it in front of another grand jury. Grand jury said no, which is awesome. All right, it tells you what the power of a grand jury. So this upset the governor. So he had them do what they call an information, where they had go before the judges, and the judges, who were basically his judges, they were in his camp, Delaney and Frederick Phillips, and they issued a bench warrant for the arrest of John Peter Zenger, who was nothing more than this innocent printer who was paid to print articles. So Zenger spent 8 months in jail. and the kind of the cause of action that was brought against him was seditious libel. And seditious libel law of that time allowed for criminal punishment of those whose statements impugned the authority and reputation of the government or religion. Get a load of this. Regardless of truth of the statements. So if you said something negative about those in power, in charge, government, you were criminally liable, even if what you said was true, right? That's just absolutely absurd. But that was the law, right? It came over from England. You couldn't say bad things about the king, right? So that's what we had. So we brought this. The two grand juries said, hell no. And the judges said, okay, because we believe in Cosby. He's our man. They lock him up. And then the governor, or rather Delancey, the justice at the time, got Alexander, James Alexander, and his fellow lawyer who he was close with, disbarred, right? So they couldn't practice law anymore. So they wouldn't be able to defend Zenger, right? How crazy is this nonsense? But that's what happened. But Alexander, James Alexander, was so smooth, he recruited Andrew Hamilton from Philadelphia, who was like the leading trial lawyer, orator at the time in all the colonies. And while Alexander continued to work on the case kind of behind the scenes, Hamilton argued it. And the case comes in, trial's going to start, and Hamilton says, hey, we agree that Zenger printed this information. We're not. You don't need to put on any evidence in that regard. Kind of surprised the other side. So they had all these witnesses that were going to say, yeah, I saw this guy printing it. They told the witnesses to go away. And they said, well, then there's really nothing here for the jury to do. Because, you know, if he admitted to printing it and we know what it says, it's negative against the governor, you're guilty, right? And Hamilton said, not so fast, right? He said, and I'll read you some of his summation, but he's basically reminded the jury that, you know, the jury can do what they want to do, and this is wrong. And the law of America doesn't need to be the law of England. And let me back up and tell you one more thing. The other thing that Cosby, this crazy governor, tried to do is he tried to pack the jury full of his people. But the justices who were hearing the case, who were in favor of Cosby, said, wait a second, you've gone too far. You can't give us all your folks here. We've got to pick 12 jurors. So even they had some semblance of order, even just a little bit. But I'd like to share with you part of Andrew Hamilton's summation, what he told the jury. It is a right which all free men claim publicly to remonstrate against the abuses of power in the strongest terms, to put their neighbors upon their guard against the craft or open violence of men in authority, and to assert with courage the sense they have of the blessings of liberty, and their resolution at all hazards to preserve it as one of the greatest blessings heaven can bestow. The loss of liberty to a generous mind is worse than death, right? He's telling the jury, if you don't let these people speak up, and if you're going to hold this guy who's printing the paper guilty, then we have no freedom here. And the jury, and I will tell you, Delaney, the justice on the other side, said, he basically ordered the jury, hey, you got to find him guilty because he admits to printing it, and that's a crime. And the jury went back and came back and said, not guilty, right? They stood up for the freedom of men despite the law. And that is critical. And that goes to the heart of a jury trial, right? Your Seventh Amendment right to a trial for civil juries, and you have a right as a criminal defendant to a right by a right to trial as well. So very early on, before we were a country, we were having these seeds sown. Also of interest, when Zenger was arrested, right? And this was a weekly paper. The next issue didn't come out because he was arrested. It was the only issue ever missed in the history of that paper. For the next week, his wife and others came together and managed to get that paper out. They understood how important it was to be able to speak and the freedom of the press. And the James Alexander did an article in that next paper that came out. And he says, as part of his statement, which is one of like the first kind of writings in this country speaking to the freedom of the press and basically a freedom, he says, and this is part of the that issue edit and the editorial by James Alexander. He says, the loss of liberty in general would soon follow the suppression of liberty of the press. What he's saying is, basically, you lose your liberties if you lose it, your freedom at the press. He said, for it is an essential branch of liberty, so perhaps it is the best preservative of the whole. No nation, ancient or modern, has ever lost the liberty of freely speaking, writing or publishing their sentiments, but forthwith lost their liberty in general and became slaves. Okay? So a little bit of history, right? Back in the 1700s, before that we talked about Hutchinson in the 1600s, how she got up and walked out of church, how she spoke her mind, how she wasn't conforming, and how great that was. And here we have Zenger, who's locked up for printing this. His wife goes back, keeps after it. The lawyer gets disbarred. He brings in another lawyer. They argue the case, and the jury said, this is wrong. This law is immoral. This law is wrongfully applied to this defendant. And this case stands for the power of the jury. And so should you. Never forget, protect your rights. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in today as we are Speaking Truth to Power, where it's about the truth, not titles or party affiliation, just the cold, hard facts. We invite you to email us topics you'd like to hear discussed. We welcome all feedback. Find us online through all social media platforms and at thelitigator.com. That's thelitigator.com. Until next time, take care and stay vertical, friends.